He's stabilizing me, okay. Stabilization. It's a good thing to be stable. Okay, so let's go back over here. We are over here. Mizmor Mem. We did yesterday the first Shri Psukim. We did the Rashi. We did the Mitzudos. We started, I think we did the Radak. So let's look over here at the Malbim. It's always a good point at the beginning of a Mizmor. The beginning of the Mizmor is the best in Tehillim, because that's where all the Mefarshim give the background to what the Mizmor is about. So let's jump around a little bit and take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Aleph. Lamatzech Mizmor David Ze Yisoidai Al Ezane Shenasla Be'ez Borchum Ebnei Oivav. Okay, so right away, right off the bat, we have
page 361.
Page 361. He learns over here, not like Rashi, not like the Mitzudos. We're not discussing over here.
Aleph.
Aleph Lamatzech. Yes, that was up. Page 361. The Malbim, the Tefilos David LeHamalbim. Beir Ho'inyan. Beir, not Biur. Beir means to destroy. Beir means to explain. Is it the Beir Halacha or the Beir Halacha?
Who drinks beer anyway?
The Beir. The Beir is the explanation of the Halacha. The Biur means the destruction of the Halacha.
And everybody says that wrong.
I guess so. Is it Beis Medrash, BMG? Is it Bet Medrash Govoha or Govoah? Okay, this is not for now. Chasa, why do you say that? Where do you see Gaiva? Where? What do you just say that? Where do you see Gaiva? I don't see Gaiva. I went there many times. I don't see. I see a lot of poverty. I see a lot of very holy people there. It's not as bad as they sound. They say this. I'm not from the big. You know me, May. I'm not from the big. I'm from the late Sonim, but there are people who are. I was there Mitzvah Shabbos, and my brother said to me, look around, see how many people are saying V'yitin L'cha? He says, these are the people who don't have jobs, and are in a lot of trouble.
It's a prayer for Parnosa.
Be Mispala. And he said to me, you know his problem? You know his problem? Their problem is? My problem. Oh, not quite. He's the rabbi.
They got married and have like 11 kids, 12 kids.
No, they don't. None of them has 12 kids. These are young people. They have maybe one or two. All right. Lamatzeach, Mizmor ze yisodoy al ezenesh naslo be'ez baruchum emnei avsholem. This Mizmor, according to the Malbim, this Mizmor is not like Rashi and the Mitzudos. We're not describing a general Mizmor for Klal Yisrael. And we had another interpretation we had from the Radak. The Radak says that this Mizmor was an expression of praise where David HaMelech recovered from his critical illness, from a state of near death. So now we have a third interpretation as the background to this Mizmor. And that is the Malbim. And the Malbim says this Mizmor is nothing more than a miracle that David experienced. And he's coming to give Shevach Vodot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being spared from his enemies. People were trying to kill him, to assassinate him. Mizmor ze yisodoy al ezenes. Regarding a particular miracle, Shnasla be'ez Baruchem b'bnei Oiva from his enemies, when he ran from his enemies, Ve'hevi zivchei toid l'hoidus Hashem, he brought sacrifices of thanksgiving to Hashem, to give thanks to Hashem, al hanei Shnasla v'oz piercing tehillas Hashem, ve'ezuzoi, he then was mefarsim, he publicized the praises of Hashem and his might, v'nif l'ois of his wonders, for chesed, this year is Tehei Tovshin Pe'gimel. Pilois gidolos. Wondrous things are going to happen. Yes, I do. Oitzer Pilois. He published the fifth volume this year. He published Chumash Dvarim. So I was in the bookstore and I said to Beagle, I said to Aaron Beagle, and I said, oh, Dvarim came out. Says he's now finished. I said, no, he's not. Because very often in his Svarim, in the Oitzer Pelois, Zicherman, he writes see my volume oitzer pilois al hamoadim. He didn't write it yet. He writes the sefer on Dvar, and he has a bereishis shmos vayikra b'mid Dvar. So when he wrote vayikra, he says, "Oh, if you want to know more about this topic, see my sefer oitzer pilois al hamoadim." What are you talking about? There's no moadim. There's no sefer oitzer. Yeah, I'm going to get to it eventually. I'm going to write it eventually. So when he put out the fifth volume on Dvarim. So the owner of the store said to me, he's done, he's finished now. All five volumes, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, I says, no, he's not. He wrote in the book, see my sefer on the Moadim. There's another volume coming attractions. Okay, they put in the newspapers, they put in the pictures. This is a big sefer, it's a celebrity, this person. And they showed him with the Rebbe, the Munkach Rebbe, giving him the sefer and talking to him about it. So it's a very, very good stuff. But this is the year of Pilois. So he says, the Zuzoi v'nifli oisav and his wonders. Okay, the chesed Hashem laboitchem bo and the kindness of Hashem to those that have faith in him in tefillah al hateshuv ha'atzlocha be'osid together with a prayer. This is a very important yisrael. This is Rav David Cohn from Gevul Yavetz on Coney Island Avenue. He always writes about this in his Sarim on tefillah. Every time you give thanks to Hashem, it triggers a requirement to pray again. It's a very interesting concept. And that explains this. You see this all over Chazal, all over the Nusuch. And here you see, he says explicitly here in the Malbim, says exactly this. But we already have it in Davening. Modim. After, what do we do when we finish the Shemona Esrei? We have Ritzei, the Avoid of the Beis HaMikdash. And then modim, modim anachim loch. We say modim, we thank Hashem. And after you thank Hashem, what do? You start praying all over again. Sim, shaloim, toiva, uverocha, chayim, v'chesed, v'rachamim, aleinu v'al kol Yisrael amecha, barcheinu avinu kulanu kecha. What? We already did this. What was the Shemona Esrei all about? The whole Shemona Esrei were requests. We were oimei lefnei hamelech. There were 13 requests.
But you also have to acknowledge gratitude for the past.
No, that's modim. That's modim.
Right.
So after you finish modim, what if you were writing the Shemona, you were part of the team of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol who composed the Shemona Esrei. So you start off with three blessings of praise. You praise Hashem, the Avos Trias HaNesim Ato Kodesh. Okay? Now let's get down to business. Ribbono shel Olam, we have needs. We need chokhmah. We need das. We need forgiveness. We need refuah. We need parnasa. We need geula, shiva, shasenik, varishona. We need to get rid of our enemies. V'chulu, v'chulu. Shema koleinu. Okay? Business is over. Get up and you say, Hashem, thank you for your time. Thank you very much. We're appreciative of you, everything you've done for us. So when you finish the bracha, Hatoiv Shimcha Ulchon Noel Lehoidos, the end. That should be the end. The end of the Shemona Esrei. And yet, there's another bracha. What's the other bracha?
Sim Shalom
is a request. It's a request. I thought we're done with business. We're done. We had a business meeting. You come in, you're very gracious, you thank Hashem, you give Hashem some gifts, you sit down, you talk business, and then when the business is over, you thank Hashem again, you thank Hashem. What is Sim Shalom, the bracha of Sim Shalom? That is Shalom. You're asking Hashem, Sim, grant. Sim means set. Set in place conditions that foster peace, blessing. Shalom, Sim, Toivo, Uvracha, Chaim. This is a request. So Rav David Cohn explains, I don't remember all the details, he cites all the Makoros for this, and he says this so many times in all of this psalm, whenever you thank Hashem, a thank you automatically triggers a requirement to ask more. Now, how do you understand that? Is asking for more part of thanking Hashem? Because when, the way, if you think about it, when you ask, in essence, it's an acknowledgement of how great you are. When you thank Hashem, we thank you. And by asking for even more, it's an acknowledgement only you can provide. It's only you. It's a sophisticated form of saying thank you. Every time you conclude you thank, it automatically triggers a request, a requirement to ask for even more. And that's why that is the entire purpose of Sim Shalom. Once you say Modim Anachnu Lach, automatically that triggers the requirement to be mispalel more. The Malbim says exactly that here in these lines. The Malbim says, right before it says Pasuk Beis, right before Pasuk Beis it says, the Chesed Hashem leboitchem boy, the kindness of Hashem for those who have faith in Him. So this entire section here, until this line, this point in the Malbim is where the Malbim is saying that David is thanking Hashem for his survival, his miraculous survival from his enemies. And then he says, and after he thanks Hashem, it triggers im tefillah al hateshua, a prayer for more salvation, the hatzlacha be'osit.
Hatzlacha.
What? Hatzlacha. All right, I thought you were saying kol hatzlacha. Getting you nervous over here. The shear is so bad. Getting you nervous, okay. But
we have to make a
we once called out Solomon this year. Sony once collapsed. It's terrible. Sony once collapsed. Yeah, I called out Solomon. I told them God, they were very disappointed. They didn't come fast enough. I know why they didn't come, because they thought they were calling from downstairs, from the senior center, and they called whatever. Yankee Mayer passed away. He became very close to the Kleisenberger. He passed away 20 years ago. How did he become close to Kleisenberger? Because they called Hatzalah every 5 minutes. The Kleisenberger family, every 5 minutes he fainted, the Kleisenberger rabbi, when he was, and they didn't know what they called Hatzalah. So every 5 minutes. So Hatzalah didn't want to come anymore. You can't go call for every 5 minutes. You can't. This is what is this going on over here? So Yankee Mayer, before he was Yankee Mayer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was just a guy. He was just a regular guy, and he was part of Hatzalah. He was probably very very young, very young. And he told Hatzalah, listen, when the Kleisenberger family calls Hatzalah, just send it to me. I'll go every time. Don't worry about it. Don't. It was a different days. I'll go. So he went every time, and then on Purim, the Gabbai, he didn't have children at that time, he was married for a number of years, the Gabbai told him, in reward for what you've done for the Rebbe, you answered the phone every time, you came every time, the Yatzal didn't want to come anymore, because you can't cry fire every day, I give you a reward. Purim, you come, you're going to go into the Rebbe, he's going to give you a bracha for children. So Itachi, he came, and they threw him out. They didn't let him in for whatever the reason. The Gabbai saw him outside. He said, what are you doing? I told you, you must go. They don't let me in. He says, you're going in. He fashtubbed him in, pushed him in. Mamish the Rebbe, he pulled all the shtick to get him in there right in front. And he told her, give him a bracha, he should have children. Exactly 9 months later, his wife gave birth to the first child. He said the story over. You know who told me the story? Of Baruch Horowitz. He's not here yet. He told me that Yankee Mayer told him the story firsthand. So we have over here, the actual thing will come later, we're going to confirm with him. Maybe I'll have him say over the story in case I've exaggerated or said anything that's not true, but it'll to prove you the story. Okay, so that's why we got into off track when you said Hatzalah. Okay, now this is a very important yisoid. Every time you give thanks to Hashem, it automatically triggers the requirement to pray for even more. Pasuk Beis in the Malbim, on page 361, Kavoy Kavisi, I have yearned.
Al Yidei Shek.
Where would he see it? No,
I just want to ask you one thing, and then he.
No, but that's a different type of thing.
But he asked them even more.
Okay, because a different time. He's asking if you only ask one, but over here he's saying, Rav David Cohen is saying that once you thank Hashem, a thank you to Hashem automatically triggers a requirement that you ask for even more. And that's why Sim Shalom follows Modim. And that's what the Malbim here says. David here is thanking Hashem for being saved from his enemies. And then, once I thank you, you ask for more. That's the rules. Okay, Pasuk Beis, Kavo Kavisi. It sounds like a cup of coffee. Kavo Kavisi. I have yearned for good cup of coffee. They should call Kavo. You want to go into business with me, Mayor? We'll make a coffee. We'll call Kavo Kavisi. Kavo Kavisi. Well, that'll be the name of our company. Kavo Kavisi. Aide Shekivisi Bismidus. El Hashem is obviously explaining the repetition. The repetition connotes intensity. Alide shekivisi bismidus el Hashem a continuously, because I continuously yearn for Hashem. Lochein deif avayet ilai Hashem tilted his ear by yishma shavosi. He listened to my prayer. Or it's soina loyma ki lupamim itzayer shahashem. Shemea es hatfila mimoroim, v'hu be'esha yoshia b'derech hateva yidei emtsoim. Sometimes Hashem listens to a prayer when he saves a person through, you know, natural means. V'lifamim yitzayer sheyorei l'mata v'shemea tefila, he comes down. V'al yidei zeh v'yed elai, Hashem tilted his ear, v'hu be'esha moshia yidei nes hashkochi, Hashkocha Pratis, Shalo al Yidei Emtsoi, Rak Biyodei Mamish, V'chein HaTeshua Zos Chos al Yidei Hashem Yatzmach. So he's saying over here, a lot of ideas. He's saying over here that there are times, it's very, very interesting, very deep, what I think he's trying to say, is sometimes when a person davens to Hashem, so like you send a piece of mail, you send mail. So you have to send, it's a long distance. You're going to send mail to China. You're going to send it to, you know, the Far East. It's a very long journey until your letter reaches its destination. And then, whoever receives it responds. And they send back a message, they send back a gift, we purchase something. And then there are times when, although the recipient is very, very far away, you want to talk to him, don't send me a letter. I'll come listen to you, I'll come to you. When the recipient gets wind that there's someone trying to communicate with him, he doesn't wait for the letter to arrive. Instead, the recipient gets up and travels all the way to the one that is making the request. So it's saying, when it comes to prayer, there are two different types of ways Hashem answers the prayer. Sometimes we dive into Hashem, and we're here, and Hashem is there. And our prayers have to travel a very, very far distance for Hashem to hear the prayers. And sometimes Hashem comes down locally to listen to our request. Dirshu Hashem b'motzo'oi. There's a unique time to pray to Hashem, a greater intensity where Hashem is available. He's present. You don't have to wait snail mail for the message to travel a long distance. Hashem is present. Lemai nafgamina. What difference does it make? Hashem is reliable. Hashem isn't like the USPS. Hashem is reliable. Hashem hears no matter what. The difference is the way Hashem answers. When Hashem stays in Shemayim and our prayers have to ascend through a long journey to get there, then when Hashem answers, the response comes in a more hidden way. In a more hidden way, it's like through nature, through hashkocha pratis, you know, it's just things filter down, and you look back a year later, oh, things worked out. I pray to Hashem, and look at that, it's now a year later, I reflect, was it kedai, did it accomplish anything, my prayers? I guess it did, because when I look back, look, I survived, and things that I thought were very problematic and very dangerous. No, things worked out. Everything just got better. But when Hashem comes to you, Dirshu Hashem b'imotza, and you pray to him, and Hashem responds, the response is impactful. It's like, wow. Ooh. Like it shakes you up. The Hashem's response is almost visible. Okay, it's like, you know, the Purim miracle was, wow, the chances of this happening is zero. I told you this, I was once walking with someone and something happened. And he said to me, what are the chances of this happening? What just happened? So I said to him, 1%. So he says to me, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. The chance of what just happened are zero. Are zero. This is nothing more than an open revelation of Hashem's Hashkocha Pratis. Things happen. What are the chances? 1%. No, it's not 1%. A fraction of a percent? No, it's not even a fraction of a percent. You can't even measure. Shalom Aleichem. Rabbi Heshi. Welcome back. Sobel. Heshi Sobel. Welcome back. What are the chances? Changes are literally zero. And that's seemingly what it's saying over here. Is that there? And that's what it means. Vayet Eli. Vayet Eli means Hashem is not listening in Shemayim. Hashem is listening down here. Hashem has traveled from Shemayim and has come to this earth to listen. And thus, when Hashem responds, the response is blatant. It's undeniable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to a person's needs. Let's read these words one more time over here. Now there is one condition. And then the Malam over here says something else which is very profound. Is in order for a person to merit that condition, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will literally come to him, instead of him needing to go and send the prayer to Shemayim, is you have to do it continuously. You can't go on vacation. When the tefillos are sustained, are continuous and sustained, that is where a person merits this unique response where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol descends and listens. One more time, these words, Kavok Kavisi, Alidei Shekavisi Bismidus. That's an incredible point. Only this unique hashgacha comes when the person yearns for Hashem continuously. There is no delay. It's like what it says. In the ksuba, v'ano ezoin, v'ano oiker, v'ezoin, v'afarnis yisichi lichi, kilchus you kilchus govern you don dezonin, umefarnisin, nisheon bekushta. Why does it say in the ksuba the word bekushta? Like the way of Jewish men who give honor and sustain and support their wives with truth. What does that mean? Truth? What does that mean? Well, the whole document is a lie? The whole document? So what it means, we have this many times, it means that when the word truth often is used, it means in the ksuba, the English translation, the article English translation should be, for the word bekushta, it doesn't in this context mean truth, it means continuously. Mayim she'enam koizvim. Waters, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, that do not, good morning, watch your step. Waters that do not lie. What is the pasuk shad in the Mishlei? Mayim, waters that do not lie. What does that mean? What do you mean waters that don't lie? They don't run out. There's always water. You turn on the faucet, the water runs. There are wells that, you know, in this time of the year, there's water. In the spring, there's water. At the end of the summer, there's no water. In the winter, there's a little water. Okay, there are different types of bodies of water which are liars. What do you mean they're liars? Because you go to the well expecting to find water. You lower your bucket. And then you raise it, and guess what? There's nothing inside. You're a liar. There's a big sign. There's a well. There's a bucket. There's stones. Water. It's a lie. It's a big lie. Okay, it's a big lie. There's no water. Oh, but there was water yesterday. Okay, yes, it is water. Today there's no water. Mayim, water, she'enam, waters, she'enam, koizim, that do not lie. Which means it's continuous. Waters that continuously flow, you have nothing to worry about, it's not going to dry up. In Eretz Yisrael, you know how many bodies of water there used to be? These wadis, they know from satellite images. they can see the indentation in the ground. Incredible technology where you can actually see where 1,000 years ago there were raging streams of water running in different parts down south near Egypt. It could very well be that the Yam Suf dried up. We don't even know where the Yam Suf really was. It could be that the Yam Suf...
See the shading on the rocks, and the smoothness of the rocks means there was a lot of water.
A lot of water there, and the satellite, you can see the indentations in the ground. We don't even know what happened to all these things. These are Mayim HaKoizvim. These are waters that lie, because they dried up. Water, so therefore, when we're using the Ksub, the Nusach, using the Ksub, the husband will give honor and support to his wife, Bekushta, it means... continuously. Husband shouldn't say, wife, you know, I'm going on vacation for 6 months. Listen, fend for yourself. I'm not paying the bills. You need some food? I don't know. Go figure it out. I'm not supporting you now. What? What? So it says in the Ksuba, Bekushta. No. There's no vacation. You get married, that's it. There's no vacation. You're responsible forever. And over here, Bismidus. It is so. I ask this to people. No one has the answer. We learn ksubis. People learn daf yom ksubis now. So the last today now it's already new sugis, but there was like 10-15 daf, very very hard sugis about all the rules, the tanai ksub, all these nuschos, and the Gemara darshins. It's amazing how the Gemara looks at the nusach of the ksuba as if it's a mishnah. It's an amazing thing. Tani, they take a word in the ksuba. And they expound upon the word in the Ksuba the same way you would expound upon a Pasuk in Chumash or upon a Mishnah. What? The Nusach, it's a document. It's a document. The document was written, I don't know, approximately 2,000 years. The Nusach, the Gemara darshins the words of the Ksuba with the same expressions that the Gemara darshins a Mishnah and a Braisa. Tani! It says this word, it make a deal. It says bebesoy, v'loy bebaktoy. Remember that word? And it says this, it says this, and it says, wait a minute, who told you to read into the words of the Ksuba such tifa kavanis? Obviously, the Nusach of the Ksuba is sacred. The only problem is, the Nusach of the Ksuba, the Gemara Darshins, is not the Nusach that we use today. It disappeared. What happened to all these nuschos? The Gemara quotes chunks of the nusach of the ksuba that do not appear in our ksuba today.
Did it inspire the ksuba?
I don't think so. The only
ksuba is twice as long.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then I really don't know.
The size of our ksuba.
I don't know, but it's really good. What happened to these nuschos? This nusach though has been preserved bikushta continuously. And here, the Malbim is making this point when it comes to prayer. A person wants to be zoicha to an extra special siyata d'shmayim prayer. There's something called tamidus. It has to be done continuously. Once you start taking breaks here and there, you lose the intensity, you lose the flow, and then a person can't expect the siyata d'shmayim, where it says, go on, l'chein, therefore, vayet elai vayishma shavos. See, this is very powerful, because this pasuk, it says the same thing by Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says Hashem, it's something very similar, I don't remember the exact words, or I'm asking, maybe you remember what it says, by when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he listened, he bent. I'm not exactly sure what I'm saying is correct, but here at least it says, vayet elai, Hashem turned. He tilted his he turned to him. He turned. Okay, it could be. Those leads parsha by Kain and Hevel. Hashem. By Yisha, he listened to. Well, Kain and Hevel shog. This is a different word. It's not vayet, but it is something similar. Correct. Okay, let's go over here. So this is a very important idea. Vayet elai vayishma shavasi. Or it's something that's very profound. These are very profound ideas. Sometimes it can be described when I'm reading over here the Malbim page 361, same album, Pasuk Beis. Sometimes yitzayir, it can be described. That's the whole year. The whole year we daven, we are where we are, we daven, and Hashem is in Shemayim, and our prayers, they're postage stamps that are put on the prayers that go to Shemayim, only for those who pay membership dues. There are stamps that go on the datzil which go to Shemayim. V'hu be'eis she'oshiyah b'derech ha'teva al yidei em tso'i. And how do you know that the tefillos went through the mail all the way to Shemayim? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the answer, when the response, the salvation that comes to us, it comes naturally, where it opens up the possibility for people to say, oh, it's just a coincidence, it's just derech ha'teva, you go to the doctor, you get better, they give you medicine, you know, it gets better, and this happens, that happens. No, that's when the prayers have gone through the ordinary, the normal channels of being dispatched and being sent off to Shemayim. V'lipa'am, sometimes yitzayer, sheyore lamata, Hashem himself descends to this earth, v'shemeyam, he listens to tefillah, Hashem is here, dirshu Hashem b'motza'oi, v'al ze'omar, v'ayet elai. That's a very beautiful thing, that whenever it says v'ayet elai, it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu has descended. And the l'may nafkamina, when Hashem answers, the answer comes with a knockout punch. There is something supernatural. There's something, whatever this means, is hashkocha, this doesn't mean necessarily, you know, like Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it means something that you can detect was a miracle. Shelo al yidei em tzui. It's not through a middleman, intermediaries. Rak biyodem ha-meshvechein ha-teshua ha-zoyz choyz ha-yidei Hashem b'yatzmo. So therefore, according to the Malbim, who learns that this entire section is describing a miracle, David went to war against one of his enemies, and he received miraculous salvation, which was nikur lakol. It was not al yidei em tzoi. That is the subject of this mizmar, and that's why it says the words vayet elai. And David merited this incredible miracle directly from Hashem because of the midah of tmidus. He was consistent. He was continuous in his prayers. Pasuk Gimel in the Malbim, Vayaleini, Hashem elevated me. We have all these, the whole nice collection of vocabulary words that we discussed yesterday. We had different interpretations. Vayaleini mashach, you see, this that I was buried, I was sunk, submerged in a pit of sho'in. What is the word sho'in? So we had until the word sho'in meant, we had two interpretations. Either meant darkness, that was mitzudos, and then we had Rashi, sho'in means a roar, a sound. A loud sound. So here, what does he say? Ritzon loymar mole mayim shoyim v'roikshim. He's learning it means a roar, like we learned yesterday. Water makes noise. It makes, from all of the liquids, it makes the most noise. So this is a bor, and the word shoyim is indicating that this pit is filled with water, and the water is turbulent. And therefore, the water is making a lot of noise. The water is crashing against each other. And not only was there water in this pit, there was also quicksand. There was tit hayovein shu tit madbik asher nefer bo lo yuchal lalos yemen. You can't escape. Not only did he save me from the water, not only did he save me from drowning, not only did he save me from the quicksand, he elevated me, he took me out, and he put my feet on firm standing, on a rock, umivtsar, a fortress, mokoim, a place. I'm on the next page 362, shelo, yuchlu oivai lagia, shom, can I reach there? Gam koin ashuroi shayu michoinonim shom bichoizik. He disagrees with Rashi, the Malbim. The Malbim can't disagree with Rashi. What he's saying to Mishani, he says I was established. Rashi said the word to prepare. That was a willing preparation. He learns the simple interpretation, which means to be established. Okay, next continuing. Vayitin b'fi shir chodosh. Hashem put in my mouth a shir chodosh. Ki ashir sheyishayu l'Hashem al teshuas tevis hi shir yashan. Okay, this is an amazing thing he says over here.
You were thinking of when I said Vayetei Lav Chosa, that's Yosef. Oh. And after Yosef was thrown into jail for ages.
That was by.
It says Vayetei Lav Chosa, Vayetein Fino Vayenei Star Beza.
Vayetei Lav Chosa. Okay, that's a different. That's a different context.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
God was with him at that point.
Correct. Could very well be that. Because the Shabbos saying Vayet means Hashem descended. Hashem was mamish. Mamash there, you can detect the Shechina. Okay, next. It says over here, Vayitim Vish, Ki Ashir Sheishol Hashem Allah Teshua Tevis. So this is what he says. There is an old Shir and a new Shir. Sometimes we say Shir Chodosh. When a person What do you mean a shir? What do you mean a shir? When do you use the word a shir chadash? So the Malbim tells us when a Kadosh Baruch Hu saves a person through natural means, like derech hateva, that's called an old song. So then you take out, you go into your library, you find a nice song that was already composed. What?
You look at the oldies.
But when a Kadosh Baruch Hu saves a person through nisim geluyim shaloy derech hateva, that demands a new song. Who's Shir Yashan? Second line. Ki ateva beruah v'yomedes mikavar. Why? Why is it called old? Because creation, this week's parasha, Bereshis Berlokim, Eis Hashem Eis Eretz, it's old. So when salvation comes to natural means, al derech ateva, it's science. If you take this pill, you get better. You do this, you feel good. You have a wall, you have security, you're safe. When it comes al derech ateva, then you sing an old song just like nature is old. Aval hateshua hanisis, a miraculous salvation. That was not part of creation. That demands a shir chodosh. V'sham noshir shir chodosh. La'as lavoi, we say this in the Haggadah, we're going to sing a shir chodosh. Why a shir chodosh?
No. You see, and that's the distinction. It's Shirah Hadashah,
with a feminine,
which is the ultimate, which is the time of Mashiach, it becomes a full Shirah Hadashah.
Oh, so you're saying something very good. You're saying something very good because there's another Chazal, and you have to put these two together. If you want to put this wax homiletic, you want to put together what the Malbim says with the Chazal. Why at times does it say Shirah in the feminine form? And why in other places is it sheer in the masculine form? So Chazal say, this is a very famous Chazal, is that when you win a battle, but you didn't win the war, you're fighting a war. You're fighting a war. And at this moment in time, you won an important battle. But it ain't over yet. The war is still going on. You have a little relief for the moment. Then you sing a shira, because it's like a woman. A woman gives birth to a baby. It ain't over yet. There's going to be another baby. Hopefully, they'll have another baby and another child, another child, another child. When you get to 18, then we'll talk about retirement. But a woman who goes through the tsar, chevle leida, and survives, and she comes out okay. She sings a shira. It's feminine because hopefully there'll be another baby. And she'll have to go through this process all over again. But when you come to the very, very end, when you win the war, and there are no more battles, then that's like a zohar, a male, in contrast to a female, doesn't go through this process. So basically, when you win the war, you sing a shir. When you win a battle, you sing a shira. Now take that idea and combine it with chodosh and yashan. Yashan is, the Malbim is saying, is natural. Chodosh is supernatural. So, Ramachol, how do you understand that v'sham nashir, when Mashiach will come, v'sham nashira chadosha. So, shira means it's just one battle. But it's chadosha, it's lamala miderech hateva.
It's not how I recall it, but
it's a shir chadash or shir chadash?
I could be mistaken about that interpretation.
But the nos, it says shir chadash?
Yeah.
It says
that.
So what does that mean?
You have it twice. You have an omelophone of shir
chadash. Oh, there's a shir chadash?
You have an omelophone of shir chadash.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So this is very, very powerful stuff. When you combine this with the Malbim, it opens up new vistas of understanding.
Right.
When you say the number of Shir Chodosh, it's Al Pedus Nafshenu.
That's the end.
Right. Al Pedus Nafshenu. That's how the following words after that.
But the Geula is not a one shot deal. The miracles of Geula that are Lemala Miderech Hateva come in stages. Chodosh automatically means it's going to be Lemala Miderech Hateva. A Shira means it's just a battle. The war is not over.
I'm not sure everyone agrees with that.
Okay, that's one mahal. That's one chazal. That's a famous chazal. That's a famous Chazal when it says masculine versus feminine. Masculine versus feminine. So that tells us that when Mashiach comes, it's not like, okay, one day you wake up, people, it bothers me sometimes, people say, oh, Mashiach should come. And then what? Well, you think Mashiach's going to come and all your problems are solved. It's so easy? Is it really that's the way it goes? Mashiach, oh, you get a word, you pick up your phone. Oh, look what it says on the phone. Look what it says on the phone. It says Mashiach came. Mashiach is here. Mashiach is here. Wow. And now what? Everything is solved. Everyone from the hospital walks out of the hospital. Everyone that's lame, everyone that has a problem. Oh, is that, it's so easy? That's how it goes? I don't know. The Rambam says he doesn't know. If the Rambam doesn't know, how are we supposed to know? Right? So what does it mean, Mashiach is here? Obviously, in our understanding, it's a process. We have Emunah, it's a process. And in the process, there are things that are going to happen that are supernatural. And that's why it's called Chadosha or Chadosh. But there are times, there's going to be tekufos, they're going to be part of the process where it's going to be Shira, which means we've now gone one level, one battle, and then another battle. And each stage will be a Shira, because there's more to come. And the fact that it's called Chadosha, according to the Malbim, means this is not the ordinary. This, what's happening, is Lamala Miderech HaTeva. And ultimately, at the very, very, very end, then the war will be won, and then it will be a sheer chodosh. Okay, going further. Umefaresh tehila le'elokeinu. Now he says, what does it mean over here? I'm going to go here to the Malbim on page 362, the third line, tehila le'elokeinu, sheshem elokim haba b'kinui shel Yisrael, Moira al Hashkochosoi Hapratis, Vialadibuk Vakesha Sheshlo im Yim Yirayav Vakeshoshwaki. This is very popular, that when it says the word Yisrael, now where is he getting the word, where is he getting Lelokeinu? Where does he see the word Yisrael over here? I don't know where he gets that word over here. Sheshem Elokim Hababikinoi Shel Yisrael. I guess it means Elokeinu. When we refer to Hashem as our God, our, that means there's going to be a unique relationship. Yiru Rabim v'Yirok. We learned this sometime this yesterday. What are these two words? They will see and they will be afraid. Ritzon Elohim, Asher al yidei shoshia li al pinis, yarvichu shloisha dvarim. Through the miracle, there are three things that are of benefit. What are the three things that are beneficial? Number one, Aleph, ki min hanhogas hateva, lo yilmedu rak lo seitz kavol l'shmo mitzachu boirei kol. Aderech hateva, we're only going to give honor to Hashem, He's the Creator. Okay, so he's saying over here is, there are two different levels of fearing Hashem. One level is to acknowledge that Hashem is the Creator. Hashem is the Creator. That creates what he calls is kavod. This is very deep what he's saying. We know that there are two different emotions. There is honor and there is fear. We honor Hashem and we fear Hashem. They're not the same. He explains, honor is less than fear. Mo Hashem Elokecha shel me'imach. It doesn't say kiim l'chvoid oisai. Sorry?
Less in what respect?
In respect that it's lacking. A person would still violate Hashem's will. Just because you give cover to a person behind their back, you can curse them out. Okay? If the President of the United States would come here today, I don't think anyone would be disrespectful. Everyone would be very, very afraid and very respectful. And when he walked, he would stay home. Would stay home. That's the respect, that you stay home. You don't come, you don't do anything. And behind his back, I'm not here, I don't know what your political beliefs are, none of my business. But just because you give a person respect, it doesn't necessarily mean that you hold from him. Okay, a person is in a position of authority, of power. Hashem, you acknowledge Hashem created the world, you give him honor. Wow, pretty good, pretty nice. But are you afraid of him? I'll do what I want. Well, if you know, here we go to the next level, if you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make changes in this world, if Hashem doesn't like what's going on in this world, he can just nuke a whole country. Hashem is still in control. Hashem didn't just create the world and hand over the keys and say goodbye and he's powerless. When you acknowledge that Hashem is still intimately involved, that's a much higher emotion called fear, because he's still in control. He can just zap me in one moment. That's what he says. One more time, the words. Return lemma. Sha'al yidei sha'ashiyashiyashiyali al pines yirvichu shloisha devarim. Number one, Aleph, ki min anahogas ha'teva lo yilmadu rak lo seks kavad l'shma mitzad shu barei kol. That when you look at nature, all that demands of men, when a person looks at nature and looks at the beauty of this world, and many goyim are like this. So this is a very powerful insight to human nature. There are many goyim in this world, they study nature, and they're thinkers, and they're blown away. They're blown away, wow, this world, it's just unbelievable. The chokhmah of this world, there's no way in the world this world came into existence by itself, there's a God. And that's where it stops. It does not demand of them, okay, if there's a God, so you know, why don't you become observant? Your grandparents were observant. So why don't you also, you're a Jew. Your mother's a Jew, your grandmother's a Jew, your great-grandmother, why don't you become observant and live a different lifestyle? No, not for me. Is there a God? There certainly is. There's no question about it. What I've seen in my life, is so become observant. I was walking with Simchas Torah, and I was stopped, and in front of me was a person that seemed to be drunk. I would say 30 feet in front of me, walking down the street. I didn't even notice he was drunk. I'm following behind him, and then coming in the opposite direction is a Russian, an old Russian woman. She was Russian, very obvious. She looked to me, I would say upper 70s, I would guess. And she had a shopping cart. She just came from the supermarket. A shopping cart full of, you know, it was obvious she just came from, dressed like, you know, weekday clothing, walking very slowly with a shopping cart. And I was minding my own business, and she says to me, he's drunk, this guy. This, you know, I said, he says to me, I see he had vodka. She's a Russian. So I said, yeah. I said, you know, today's a holiday. Some people, they drink a little bit. She says to me, I know all about it. Today is Simchas Torah. And she started talking to me like in Yiddish. And she says, I know everything. And she starts varfing as if makmamish, like she's your bubby. And I'm looking at her, and she's in a shopping cart. She just bought up whatever in the supermarket. Obviously, totally irreligious. And like, I know what today is. You can imagine 60, 70 years ago, she was in shul with her parents. Who's to judge? Who's to judge what people go through in life? Okay, so there are people who know. Why aren't you religious? Why don't you do? Okay, her case is different, because obviously she... I don't know her case. I don't know. What do I know about her? I know nothing about her. But there are people in this world who will tell you there is a God. I saw him. I see him all the time. But it has no impact on their life. Why not? Because they don't believe... The Malbim is telling you the reason why they don't believe that God can make a change. He created this world, but he can't do anything for me. He can't change my situation. I'm locked in to a certain situation, a life. I have to help myself. I can do whatever I can do, but by me praying to Hashem and him intervening and bringing things about and going in a different direction, impossible. That I don't believe in. I believe there's a God. It can't be there's no God. But that he could now actively change the trajectory of this world and of my life? No way. not al derech ha-teva, and certainly not al derech ha-nisim. When a person comes to realize that Hashem can make changes, that Hashem can make people better, and Hashem can make people worse, and Hashem can give you parnasa and it can take away parnasa, and Hashem is actively involved in making changes, in editing the script, then you're filled with a new level of not just kavod, but of yira. Yira comes with the acknowledgement Hashem can make a change. Do you really believe it? Many people say they believe it. They say they believe Hashem can make changes. To say that Hashem exists, that's easy. Not so easy, unfortunately, for everyone, but for many people, that's easy. And kavod. V'anachnu koyrim u'mishtachem v'moynu l'fnei melech malchei amlochem ha-kodesh baruch hu. I'll bow koyrim. No problem. I give you kavod, Hashem. Wow, magnificent. I should fear you, and I should do what you want, because if I don't do what you want, you're going to zap me, or you're going to give me a reward. Schar v'einish. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. When you come to the realization that Hashem can make a change, that is what triggers what's called yira. That's the fine line. Kavod and yira, acknowledgement that Hashem created the world, but to reach the madrega where you acknowledge Hashem can make that change, that's next word, Yalzeh Omar, it says, Yiru, they will see the Yiru, they'll be afraid. She, ha'akarosha yakiru al yidei myself ha'musudorim kifiyateva, lo yakiru rak ha'chachamim, I'm reading the letter B is in the Malbum, lo yakiru rak ha'chachamim ha'chaykrim al piyasechel v'ru'iyun, aval al yidei ha'nes. In other words, there are people who, when they, like I told you today, people they see Hashem in nature. Only very brilliant people can reach that madrega. People who are thinkers, people who are looking to see Hashem, when they study Hashkocha Pratis, they see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make changes. But when there's an open, blatant miracle, Pinchas, Eliyahu Bahara Carmel, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, that even the common man is shaken up. Aval al yidei hanes, yiru rabim, the masses. See, the only yechidim are able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make changes in this world through nature. Yeah, the Hashkocha Pratis. You have to be yechidim, you have to be a philosopher or a person that's really searching. But when you witness an open miracle, then the masses acknowledge Hashem didn't just create this world. Hashem is controlling this world. He's behind the steering wheel. Yiru rabim. Kizos yiru ba'ayin. It's explicit. Loi b'seichel levad. V'gam yiru rabim. The masses. Sh'af he homoin. She'en maskilim. Not everyone is so smart to be able to connect the dots and see how Hashem is guarding this world. Now, what's the third thing? The third thing that he said, Gimel, that the way Hashem conducts the world is not a technique to have faith in Hashem. They will have faith. Okay, so I'm thinking of it very deep, and this really alludes to what it says in this week's parsha, right? In this week's parsha is the beginning of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah began with Asucha Likra B'Shem Hashem. So what does that mean? Asucha Likra B'Shem Hashem is, the Mamash from the Malm over here is saying, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from far, he conducts this world through the Emtsu'iyim. You take a pill, and you get better. You have a security camera, the ganav goes away. Who's really making you better? Not the pill, it's Hashem. Who's really keeping the ganef away? It's Hashem, not the security camera. But you don't see that. So what do you end up doing? You worship the pill. You worship the pill. Okay, the pill is the golden calf. You worship the pill. That's what makes you better. The security camera, you bow down to it. Because that is what is protecting you. You don't see. In the olden days, you know, we just have to revise the language. And they worship the stars, the moon, the sun. Today, forget about it. Today, just change the language. You worship the medicine. You worship the policeman. You worship the military. You worship the things that you see with your eyes that are providing you with protection. You don't acknowledge that these things are just the emtsu'im which Hashem has provided to save you, to protect you. So when you witness, when you witness an open miracle, then you cut out the middleman, and that creates a haftacha, a sense of security, directly in Hashem, without the nesoyon of putting your faith in the davar ha'emtsoi, the middleman, the object that's in between Hashem and your safety and security. So that's what he learns in the pasuk of here. There are three different things of hearing in this pasuk. Number one is yiru rabim v'irohu. First, there's going to be, you have to go really taking a step back. First, it says v'yitein b'fi shir chodosh tehilo leilokenu. Tehilo leilokenu is number one. Kovoid, praise to Hashem, acknowledging He is the Creator. The next level is fear, and to be afraid. That means acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change this world. He can make changes in this world for better or for worse, and that yira. And when it comes to the masses, that's only going to happen when there's going to be open miracles. What else does that create? It creates not just an acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do these things. We need to rely upon a being for our safety and security. We will now skip over the middleman and go right to the source, acknowledging that all of these things that are in the world of Teva are nothing more than the Emtsuim. Okay, this is like a basic course in the fundamentals of Judaism. All right, let's maybe look at the Chazal before we go further. Okay, some interesting Mamari Chazal before we go further. We really touched upon some of these things. Go back to page 360. On page 360, we have over here on the very bottom of the page. On the bottom of the page, so I want to go do over here. Before we go further, I wanted just to mention this because this is interesting to me. The tit, I noticed this in the Sidurim. The tit, is the tit hayovein, or the tit, or the, over here it says the yovein or yovon. Over here, look over here, or yovein. Look at the mincha shai. Mitit hayov, we have our gears to yovein. B'ktsas sefarim havav b'segol. Mitit hayovein. Okay, in fact, we have this, I don't know, I think in the kinois. It also we mentioned the titha yoven. I think some of the kinois it says yoven with a segel. So I guess it's really rooted in this. Here's where it is. Here we have titha yoven, the segel, the sifrei, sephorad, bitzere. So here we're all sardim. Art school became sephorad. V'chein kasa b'shoroshim shu b'shekel okev is the same grammatical form of the word okev. Okay, that's interesting to notice that there are two different gersois. Titha yoven or titha yoven. Then, okay, back to the Mamor Chazal. Pasuk Gimel. Vayleinam mibar shoyin mitit yavein. Amar Rabbi Shuvim Levi. Shiva shemos yesh legehenim. It's my favorite Chazal. Meir, are you with me on this?
Oh, yeah.
At least we agree on something. Okay, seven names to Gehenim. The Elohein. Sheol. Okay, Sheol is the grave. We like to call Sheol. Va'avadoin. Avadoin is the place of destruction.
Doom.
Uve'er shachas, the pit of shachas, whatever that means. Okay, shachas, destruction, fine. Uve'or sho'oin, the pit of noise. Okay, why is it again? You can't fall asleep, you only go to sleep there.
Unless you go with the darkness.
Or the darkness, correct. Rashi, Mitzvah says it means darkness, or it means noise. Okay, v'tit hayovein, quicksand. Vitzal Moves, which we all know is a contraction of two words, Tzel Moves, the Eretz Hatachtis, the lower land,
underworld.
The underworld. And Chazal say, guess what? It's not a stira. There are seven different names. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are seven maduros, and no one should get used to one. You know, you can get used to anything. You can get used to again. You get used to it. You find your niche. No. They keep on shifting people around. They go from one to the next. Not to get used to it.
There are seven levels, right?
Seven layer cake.
Just in contrast to seven levels of shemayim.
Right. Zeh, excellent. Zeh, le'uma, zeh, bar Elokim. There are seven names for Ganim, which means there are seven different levels. Take me down to level four. Come to the desk. Where can I find so-and-so? Let me check the computer. He is sub-level six. Room 604, section B. It's no joke, Rabbi Sai. This is no joke. Okay, there are seven levels.
Seven names. Who says there are seven levels?
Chazal say this.
Chazal say this. Doesn't say it here.
Not here. Seven names. There are seven names. But does it mean seven? They all call the same level. Or you have to. That's the art of drush. You have to combine Mamori Chazal. They're a puzzle. Each one is a different facet of the same. Sometimes, not all the time. You can't always reconcile Mamori Chazal. There are many Mamori Chazal that cannot be reconciled. And why seven? Why is it mistaver that the Taka, there are seven different levels? Chazal say, I'm not making this. Ramchol is agreeing with me on this one. Why? Because Zelumazet, just like we have in Shemayim, we have a tradition. There are seven heavens, and Hashem is above them all. So to Gehenim, Zelum Azeh, there are seven levels.
Gehenim is Keneged Gan Eden, not Keneged Shemayim.
Wow.
Okay, I don't know. No one came back to tell us.
I think it's okay.
And I'm not arguing with you. I'm not. If you're right. No one. I don't want to know the answer. I really don't want to know. Okay. And here he quotes over, how do you know this? So he quotes the pasuk here. This is a yesoid. So here now this is a little bit shocking, because I mean it's not necessarily shocking, because the midrashim they have relish taking words out of context. They relish. They have a pasuk and they make a drasha, and the drasha literally has nothing to do with the context. So here's a very good example. David is saying about himself, the Pshuta Shel Mikra is, we learned that David, let's say according to the Mal, according to the Radak, David was deathly ill. Vayaledi Miborshin, so the Mal himself, if I remember correctly, he says that it's a metaphor, it's nothing real, not real, that I was very, very sick, and I really thought I'm going to die. And it was similar to being falling into a pit, and there's no ladder, and I have no way of getting out of here. There's no way of me ever recovering from my illness. Okay, but let's take, what is the Medrash? So the Medrash comes along, the Gemara comes along and takes this out of context. Oh, it says here the word, there's something called a bor sha'oin, gehenim. And it says here, tit ha'yovein. Nothing to do with David. Or maybe not. Is David saying here that I was destined to go to Gehenim? Can you say such a thing? Is that what it means here in the Pasuk? Can we take what it says in the Gemara's translation of these two words, which indicate that this is Gehenim, and stuff, and now make it into the Pshat in the Pasuk? Are you licensed? Do you have a license to do such a thing? Is to take the Gemara, which appears to be saying things totally out of context, and telling us there are Maduros of Gehenim called Bo'or, Sho'oin, Tit, Yavin, whether it's the same or it's different, it doesn't matter. And now you're going to inject that into the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Who's writing here? David. Lamnatzeach leDavid. And David is saying, you know something? You know where I was going? I was going straight to Gehenim. That's where I was going. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you yourself took me out of Gehenim. Can you say such a thing? Is that legal to do such a thing? Can you say that an interpretation that David was going to go to Gehenna? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out. Why was he taking it? He did teshuva. Kol Omer David Chata Ein Ela Toya. If he didn't sin, he doesn't go to Gehenna. But did he sin or did not sin? Okay, this is part of a general dilemma in Chazal, where Chazal take words and they say astonishing things, and you wonder sometimes, is that meant to be the pshat in the pasuk also, or no? Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. Don't mix whiskey and wine. Don't mix these two. Don't mix together medrash and halacha. And the proof to that is Chazal, the Anshei Knesset, the Ravina Rav Ashi, and this will go back. The Rabbeinu HaKadosh go back. There are two bodies of work. There is the medrash halacha and the medrash agada. Goes back before the Tanoim. There is the Mechilta, the Sifra, and the Sifrei. And that is Medrash Halacha. That's the Makor of the Talmud Bavli, of the Mishnayis and Talmud Bavli. And then they wrote Medrash Agada, Medrash Rabbah, and other works. Why? Why? It's the same people. It was the same team. Why? Mix them together. Just put out one work that is comprehensive, that includes Agada and Halacha. Why are there two separate bodies? Mechilta, Sifra, Sifrei, and Medrash. You don't mix the two.
That's called Talmud Bavli.
Talmud Bavli is an interpretation of the Mishnah, which is a collection of the Mekoros of the Mechilta. The earliest body of work, which is very impossible to really understand. It's a very terse. People have written, they've written big volumes on it. It's very hard. The Mechilta, Sifra, and the Sifrei, that's where it all began. That's where it really all began. And Zelu Mazed is the Medrash Rabbah. Well, what are you doing? Mix them together. It'll make it so much easier for us. No. There is a world of difference between the two. You can't. Halach is halacha, agada is agada.
Different rules.
Expanding. And it's not until very recent times, very modern times, where people, like today, I always tell you this, I used to go to these shiurim, hopefully we'll start up again soon in the winter now, is Mitzoy Shabbos. They have on the Daf Yomi, they invite big Talmidei Chachamim, major, major league Talmidei Chachamim, to give shiurim on the sugyas of Daf Yomi. And I finally learned the reason why, that at the end of the shiur, the rule is, they request from the Magid Shiur to say a Dvar Agada. I always wondered why. Why do you do that? They're coming here to go and to show off. So Rabbi Kaplowitz, the one who made it, he told me the reason. I never know. He told me why he did that. He says, this is going on for almost 30 years. This will be the 28th year this year. He told me that, I think it was a new innovation, because some of these Rabbonim would say things that are so complicated, most of the people who came to the shir didn't understand one word. They walk out of there, they sit there for an hour, they come to the shir, they sit for an hour, and when it's over, they come to their wife. What did they say in the shir? I don't understand one word he said. So why'd you go? Why'd you go? I went to see. I wanted to see who this person is. I don't understand either what they say. I want to see who these people are. So he said, in order that people who don't understand what's going on, they should walk away with something, so they would tell the magidim at the end for a few minutes, say a drush, something, you know, light on the parsha, say a dvar gada. So those people who understand one word at least, and they walk home, they walk out with epes something. It shouldn't be a total waste of time for them. They should walk away with a dvar Torah. Okay, so I always noticed, and I find it, I told this to you many times, I find it utterly astonishing, is there are some rabbanim who can give the best dvar halacha, lomdis, like none other. And then when it comes to a vart, a drush, they couldn't save their life by telling you.
They
say a vart in the parasha,
you know,
and they try something in the parasha, and it's just doesn't go.
I always refer to them as there's nuts and bolts thinking, and there's abstract thinking, and 90% plus are grounded in nuts and bolts.
And they can't do the drush.
They're totally unfamiliar. And
they'll get an A+ for the halacha and get an F for the drush.
And almost
unbelievable.
Can do both.
And then there are some, very, very few, and I know one person I'm thinking of, and if I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to say anything bad, his drush is out of this world. He's probably one of the biggest machatshim in this generation. And he takes advantage because he spends most of the time on the drush, which is illegal. He's not supposed to do that. And his halacha, mediocre, nothing special. It's a C for the halacha, but an A++ for the drush. It's almost non-existent to have a person that can get an A++ for halacha and an A++ for agada. Almost doesn't exist. It's a different mind.
The standard Shabbos Haggadah drush used to be, they used to split it.
Halacha, well,
halacha and,
not really.
It depends. It's a different mind that excels in both. And you see back from the very beginning, when it all started to be put in words, in writing, the Mechilta, Chazal did not incorporate the two together. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. There's a Mechilta Sifra Sifrei, and there's Medrash Rabbah. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. You don't mix whiskey and beer. You don't mix these things together.
Whiskey and wine.
Now, there is one exception. There is a person, there is a mind that mastered this art, which people will argue that not everyone agrees to even trying to do this. Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, who has the koil over here, he told me it's not only him, it's Brisk. They have a koyach, the Briskers, to not only do both, like they'll take a Dvar Halacha, they'll take a Rambam, who's writing Halacha, and will bring out a Musar in the Halacha. It's not, what's one thing to say a Varn the Parsha, and to say a Pilpul? They have nothing to do with each other. And you get an A++, that's one Madrega. It's another Madrega to take a Dvar Halacha and show you in the Dvar Halacha the Musar of the Halacha. That's another Homahalach. Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik was well known. And that's a lot of his stuff. Like he'll take the Esrog. I'll talk about the halacha of the pitim and the ukits. And al pi halacha, they should be matched up. The ukits should be matched with the pitim. And then after you go through the lomdis of why that has to be, what's the dvar musar? The pitim is the future. The ukits is the mesora. The going weiter into the future has to be perfectly in line with the Mesorah. Never an Esrog with a pitim here and the Ukitz comes out over here. This is not the Mesorah. You have to follow the Mesorah. Okay, there's taking a halacha and bring out a Musar. This is a very unique talent.
You know, the Gemara actually does that. In Mubal Gozal, it talks about the Aravas that are puzzled because they don't survive. They don't grow on Arbe Mayim. So the Gemara says that the Novi said that Kali Yisrael, that they're not surviving on Arav Mayim,
right,
which is Torah.
The Gemara does it a little bit here and there.
Himself like a what a sap. Interesting.